Shalom Rav Ovadia, welcome to Contemporary Halacha. I look forward to actually teaching something with you together, learning together. Today's topic is Yichud, and we're going to hopefully talk about Yichud, a little bit of the sources, but mostly Halacha L'maaseh in terms of professional situations, in terms of dating situations, babysitting situations, all of which could be very nogea for yourselves and for your balabatim. Or your students, whether you plan on being rabbanim or mechanchim, either way, or lawyers or doctors. Halacha of Yichud is applicable to everybody. So first of all, it's important as a preface to realize that there's an incredible Gra. The Gra writes that once a person, the Gra Navas writes, Shena tabali de avera. Once the Gra writes that once a person is bali de avera, they kimat have no bechira anymore. When a person is in the throes of a Yetzer Hara, then there's nothing that could protect them except busha, being caught by other people. But Yirat Shamayim doesn't have the potential to hold a person back from doing something wrong once they're already in the clutches of the Avera. Says the Gra, what's the nisayon for a person? Not to do an Avera, but to avoid a scenario where an Avera can occur. Like Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz says, how could a person ever be punished for any Avera? After all, so every time we do an Avera, we're a Shota. And Shota is not held accountable for his Averas. The answer is Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, because a person is not nidon on the Averas that they do, but a person is nidon on putting themselves in a situation where there is an Avera that potentially can occur. So when we have the Isure Arayos, the Geder Gadol Arayos is the halachas of Yichud. If a person is shomer halachas Yichud, then they can be assured that very little isur could be violated. Certainly, serious isurim will be preempted. So let's try to understand what Yichud is, where it applies. So number one, people typically assume that Yichud is a man and a woman locked in a room, and that's incorrect. Yichud means seclusion. You could be secluded in a prairie in the plains of Kentucky in the middle of the day. There's no walls, there's no locked doors, there's no darkness, but there's no one around for as far as the eyes could see. So that would be Yichud Mida Araisa, even though no one's locked anywhere. So Yichud just means in seclusion. For that reason, the Gemara tells us, the Gemara Megillah, Daf Yudal Ramanav says, Tomer Dvor, Dvoru Dand, underneath a Tomer, a palm tree. Says the Gemara, why does the puzzle go out of the way to say that she did her Mishpat Tachas HaTomer? Because a tomer, a palm tree, the way that the leaves are situated, the leaves are stick upwards, they don't fall downwards, so that there would never be yichud where she would be being shofetes with whom, if she had to speak to a man, there would never be yichud the way the position of the palm fronds are situated. What do you see from that? You see that there's yichud outdoors in an orchard. Which is open, there's nothing locked, there's no doors, and that would still be Yichud. Now, this of Yichud is equally on a man and on a woman. What is the nature? Is it an Issa D'Oraisa? Is it an Issa D'Rabbanan? So we have to learn a little bit of history. History begins with the Pasuk in Chumash. Pasuk in Dvarim says, talking about the case of Mesis, and it says, if somebody tries to be Mesis you in a place that you are not with anybody else, so that pasuk talks about you being nistar, you being in seser with your mother, your daughter, and your wife, from which we learn that being in seser with anyone besides your mother, your daughter, and your wife, any other arayas, will be aser mida arayasa. So that's a pasuk that tells us that yichud with arayos, anyone besides mother, daughter, wife, is going to be aser mida arayasa. So that yichud is only going to refer to arayos. What about pnuyos? Or Pnuyos Tahoros, neither we'll talk about later. So there's a story in Shmuel Bey's Perek Yud Gimel that David had a son named Amnon. David had a daughter named Tamar. Amnon and Tamar, I believe, were half siblings. And Amnon fell in love with Tamar, his half sister. And one day Amnon is walking around the palace and he looks very sad and depressed. And somebody tells to him, a friend or a relative tells him, why you look so sad? He says, I'm lovesick for my half sister, for Tamar. So his friend suggested, not such a friend, why don't you go pretend you're sick? Your half-sister is going to bring you some chicken soup with knedlach, and when she brings you some chicken soup with knedlach to take care of you, you could jump up and take advantage of her. And that's exactly what he did, and therefore he raped his sister his half sister, where? In the palace of David HaMelech. Said Chazal, B'shah ba'osa shah, the based in Gazer ba'osa shah, Amr levnos malachim kach, levnos hediotos alachas kama v'kama, im letznuos kach, leprutzos alachas kama v'kama, ba'osa shah gazu al hayichud of a penuya. And therefore, they made a gzera to Rabbanan that even though the Torah is a derais of yichud only applies to arayos, but not to a penuya, there's a gzera to Rabbanan of Malchus based David, of based of David HaMelech, that it's also going to be an iser of yichud midrabbanan for a penuya. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin Chaf Aleph. There's a third stage in history, after the pasuk and after the gzera of a penuya, is the Talmid the Hillel v'Shamay gozu al yichud of a goya. A goya is not a erva. A goya is not a penuya. A goya has her own status, and therefore there's a later takana of Hillel Shammai that will asr yichud with a goya. Let's talk about the yichud of the yichud midoraisa. So yichud midoraisa is a yichud with any of the arayos, all of which are listed. Now, what's the nature of the isra of yichud? Just a moment of lamdus of what is yichud. Is yichud an isra b'fnei atzmo? The maisa yichud is the maisa isra. Or do we say that yichud is a gzera? I don't want to use the word gzera, I should use the word geder. That something, a bia shel arayis, shouldn't emanate from this seclusion, so don't be in such a seclusion. What do you mean? These aren't rabbanas, these are daraisas. Do we find anywhere in the Torah where you have the isser is, of course, the bia with an arayis. Do we find anywhere else in the Torah where we have a geder, I don't use the word gzera, a geder, a siyag, mida araisa? Don't be misyached midoraisa, lest you come to do arayas midoraisa. Can any of you think of a situation where we have a din doraisa that protects you from a potentially worse isidoraisa? Yeah.
Possibly by Nazir, he can't.
Correct, Nazir. Yes, you can't drink. Well, you can't eat chartzanim and the zug, the different parts, lest you come to drink one. Yeah.
By what?
Bayra by Yamatza to Achil, which is Karis, yeah? What do you want to say in the back?
Potentially
Bishul Basu B'chalav. 100% Bishul Basu B'chalav to Achil. So Ravadia has another, Rishat likes to talk about this concept from a Turi Evan, I think, and the Ravadia has a list. He mentions all the things that you mentioned. Negia of an Erva is Atu, same thing. Bia of an Erva, Los Sikrivu, Legalos Erva. The Rambam in Hilchos Deis says that the Isser of Netira, lo sikom v'lo sitar, Netira b'leiv is a gzera d'oraisa atu nekima, which is b'maisa, which is more chomer. You have a Rashbam in Baba Basra who says that owning, lo yad b'veischa even v'oven, you're not allowed to own faulty weights. Says the Rashbam, that's a gzera d'oraisa, it's a siyag d'oraisa atu, using faulty weights and stealing in the line of business. And other such chatzishir, certainly chatzishir asur midaraisa, we pass like Rabbi Yochanan, chatzishir asur atu, that you're going to come to eat asur tzurufe, depending on how you learn that. So therefore, I remember once visiting Rabbi Gamliel Rabinovich, who's at Shlita on Tzadike Yerushalayim, and I think I went with my wife and or someone. I think the lady before us, there was a lady who went to speak to him. He's mekabel panim, he sees hundreds of people a week, maybe more than that. And the lady before was a lady, and he explained that he had to leave the door open, and he says, you know, even, he made a joke, I don't remember what the exact joke that he said 20 years ago, about doesn't matter how ugly somebody is, how old somebody is, yichud's asr, it's asr. So again, even when you tell me that there's no chash in a specific situation, because they're so ugly and they're so whatever, but it's asr d'oraisa, nothing to say as far as that isr d'oraisa. Now, once we are defining the Issa D'oraisa, we have to know a very important leniency that Tosfos in the Pesachei Tshuva quotes from Tosfos. Tosfos writes, I don't remember where the Tosfos is, but the Pesachei Tshuva is quoting this Tosfos, that Midoraisa Yichud is also only in the scenario of one man and one woman. We'll see shortly that the Mishnah says at the end of Kedushin that Yichud is Asr sometimes when there are multiple people there. One man and two women is Asr to have Yichud. So before Shem Mishnah at the end of Kedushin. But this is the Raisa Zaktosis, this is only when one man, one woman. Anytime you're going to have more than one in one, by definition, it can never be an Isser Zaraisa. It will be Darabanan. We follow Darabanan. What's the difference if Zaraisa Darabanan? Well, of course, we're going to find situations, as we'll see later in the Shir, where there's going to be a Safek, where there's going to be a Tziruf, and we'll be able to do a Tziruf Lahakel on a derabbanan, which we wouldn't have that flexibility for deraisa. The most common shaila that I think you will have, certainly in your stage of life, regarding yichud, is what is the status of a nida? A nida, is she in the arayas? Well, if you open up a chumash to Parshas Emor, you will see a list of 15 arayas or so, and guess who's there? It says there, of nida. So nida is a deraisa. If you are any person is going to go out with any boy, from boy, goes out with a from girl, any Jewish girl is going to be a nida once she's in her young teen. So all dating is going to, by definition, be with a nida. And therefore, is the shaila of going on a date that will have a potential yichud application going to be a shaila deraisa or derabbanan? So we said that arayas are deraisa. Pnuya is derabbanan. That's from Beis David. Beis Din Shel David. What about a pnuya tahora? Pnuya tahora, we don't have a pnuya tahora, so they're all not tahoras, they're just pnuyas. But is a nida an erva or is a nida not an erva? Now here, this is an important question that the Achronim question, whether a nida is an erva or not. What are the tzadim that a nida is, yes, an erva? Number one, I said that it's in the list of arayas. What's another raya that nida would be one of the arayas? Issacharis. Great. What about the other side of the coin? What is the possible raya that a nida is, can't be an erva?
No mamzer?
No, that might even apply by arayas, possibly. I hear what you want to say. I'm not sure. Correct. No mamzer. And there might be another. And tvisas kiddushin. Correct. Two nafkaminas that show that she's not a, that a nida is not a, not an erva. Tvisas kiddushin and a mamzer, and there's no mamzeris. So it's a machlokas achron. The maskana of the poskim is that indeed anida is an arayas, is one of the arayas, and therefore going on a date with a pnuya nida will be a yichud midaraisa if it's just you and she. That is as far as what's daraisa. Let's talk about the next point in this shir. The next point, baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam shehakol nehiyah bidvaro. What are the ages of yichud? So you're all familiar with the age. You have to, if yichud is something to do with bia, you're going to have to be roi l'bia. Roi l'bia for a woman is from age 3. Roi l'bia for a man is age 9. For a boy is age 9. Now keep in mind, it's only going to be yichud if you have someone who's roi l'bia with a person, their opposing gender, who is chayv mitzvahs. So if you have a 3-year-old girl with a 15-year-old boy, that's yichud mida araisa. Or the opposite. If you have a 10-year-old boy with a 15-year-old girl babysitter, that would be yichud mida araisa. However, let's say the child, the 3-year-old girl, the 5-year-old girl, or the 9 and 10-year-old boy, is with somebody who's not a bar mitzvah. Who's not a bar mitzvah? Let's talk about someone who's young. You have a 5-year-old girl with a 12-year-old boy. The 5-year-old girl is a bas bia, but the boy is not chayv mitzvah, so he's not a bar mitzvah. So therefore, that's mutar l'chatchila. We won't say yichinach on it. Similarly, the opposite. Let's say you have a 9-year-old boy with an 11-year-old girl. That is mutar l'chatchila. We won't say chinach on it. Let's take it a step further. Who else is not a bar mitzvah? I'm playing with the word bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah. Well, goyim are not bar mitzvahs or bas mitzvahs. They're not mechuyavim b'davar. It's not one of the tariyah. It's not one of the zayimis b'nei noach to not be misyached. So let's think for a second. If you have a guy or a goya, they are not mechuyavim, with a 4-year-old girl. You have a goyisha man, 28 years old, football player, with a 5-year-old girl. Is it mutter? You're allowed to, I wouldn't do it. You're allowed to leave your kid, your 5-year-old girl. She's ruhi l'biya, but she's not bas mitzvah. The man is a guy, so he's not a bar mitzvah. I wouldn't do it, but halachically, there's no iser yichud in that situation. The opposite also. Let's say you have a 10-year-old boy with a Gentile babysitter, a female babysitter. So the 10-year-old boy is not mitzvah b'davar, even though he's ruhi l'biya. The woman who's watching him, she's a 20, 30-year-old, 40-year-old Gentile woman. She's not a mitzvah b'davar. Also, yichud is mutter. Those are a number of important kulas that Rabbi Yashiv that are all cited in the Sefer Torah HaYichud, many of them based on Rabbi Yashiv pointing out these various kulas. Now, what about, that's as far as the young age. What about at an elder age? At what point do we say, if Yichud is, we're worried that there's going to be a bia, what happens about a man who's impotent, a man who's physically unable to have bia? Now, how often do you have a guy who's impotent who's going to have Yichud? It happens all the time. When you have very elderly people who need to have an aid, A-I-D, not Ayin Dalet, who need to have a home health aid, and it happens to be the case that there are many more home health aides who are females, and they're often better caretakers than male home health aides in many situations. So could you have an elderly man who's somewhat incapacitated in his late 80s, in his 90s, could he be taken care of by a female? Or will there be an Isser Yichud? We're not going to talk about Negiah today. Would that be Yichud? So Ramosha says in Evan HaEzer Chelek Dalet Simen Samach Hei, Sifkat and Yud, that's 4:65:10, that if a person is determined by doctors to be clinically impotent, so there's no yichud whatsoever. He's not shy. If a person physically can't be niskashek, doesn't have gvuras anashim, so he can't have bias. There's no yichud to start off, and there's no issue yichud on with him whatsoever. Continues with Moshe and says, let's say the guy knows that he's not clinically anything. He's not, he just knows that he's too weak to do anything physical. So Moshe says, in that case, we'd at least be lenient by Yichud Mide Rabbanon. When do you have Yichud Mide Rabbanon? By Pnuya Tahora. That's not so helpful because all of our Pnuyas are not Tahoras anymore. They're all Nidas. So you're not going to have a leniency there. But what leniency will we have? A Gaya, we said 5 minutes ago, is only Yichud Midrabanan. Says Rav Moshe, if the man is too old to have Bia, and you want to hire a Filipino, it doesn't have to be Filipino, it could be any woman who, a Gentile woman, to care for him, there will not be an Isser Yichud on this man, even if he is cognitively aware, and he's Shomer Shabbos, and he davens 3 times a day, but he's too weak, or not too ill to be Niskasha. So, even if there's no clinical anything, it would be mutter for him to have a female Gentile caretaker. That's as far as who the Isser of Yichud applies to. Let's now go to the third section of the shir. The third section of the shir is the shir. We got to the shir. So, the shir, what's the shir of Yichud? Now, I'm going to have to explain myself. So, bear with me until I'll clarify what I mean by what's the shir. There's very little Gemara about Hilchas Yichud. There's 2 Mishnayos at the end of Kedushin, and there's no Gemara in Shas that talks about the Shir of Hilchas Yichud. However, the Gemara has a whole Masechta about Sota, and a Sota has 2 parts of the Sota experience. One is Kinui, and the other is Stira. Kinui is the warning that the husband says, don't hang out with that guy John. And Stira is when she hangs out with John in Yichud. So there the Gemara in Sota tells us that the definition of Stira, of Yichud, regarding to make a woman into a sota is kedei litzlos beya, to roast an egg ulegoma, and to swallow it. So how long does it take to roast an egg ulegoma? Well, the Gemara clarifies itself a little. The Gemara says in sota that litzlos beitza takes the same amount of time as swallowing a revius. How long does it take to drink a revius of liquid? I'd say 5 seconds. Yeah. So litzlos beitza is 5 seconds. Ulegoma, and to swallow it. Swallow an egg. How long does that take?
1 second?
No, a little more. I'd say you have an egg, you cut it up, it's a whole egg. So there's a beautiful sefer called the Dvar Halacha. I usually bring it to show you, show and tell. The Dvar Halacha is the Bible of all Hilchas Nidah Svarim. The Sefer Dvar Halacha was written in Bnei Brak, I believe, probably in like the 60s. I think it was the Stipler told him, maybe the 70s, the Stipler told this Yid, Rabbi Rosenbaum, I don't remember, something with a Baum or a Garten, to write a sefer on Hilchas Yichud. And that is the Bible upon which every subsequent contemporary sefer on Yichud is based. He did the primary research and the experimenting, and he did the major work that everything else is based on. Now, he said he experimented with a description of the various mefarshim of all the Rishonim, the Achronim, describing litzos, bezos, and lugam, and he came out with the most machmir shita would be 35 seconds. Wow. 35 seconds is the shear of yichud. That means that you're allowed to have yichud up to 35 seconds? I'm going to explain in a minute, that's not so clear, but let's talk about some other opinions. Well, Yashiv says, it's not so quick, it has to be, under a minute is certainly fine. Peshat Zadchak up to a minute and a half. Comes with Moshe with a very important kula, Eben HaEzer, Volume Dalid, Chaf Beis, Sifkat and Hay, that's Eben HaEzer 4:22-5, and says, Rav Moshe, a fabulous chiddush, which is very mistaber. Chazal are telling us the shir of Yichud is Litzlos Beit Zulagoma. But if we're worried that a bia is going to happen, there are two other things that have to occur besides the Maisa Bia. Number one, he has to convince her to have the bia. There has to be a pituya seduction. And number two, they have to get undressed. And actually, number three, after the Maisa Bia, they have to get dressed back into regular clothes so they could appear in public. Oh, that's a lot more time. So if we say that the Maisa Bia might be 35 seconds, a minute and a half, but here you have to seduce her. If it's a first date, that could be a half an hour. And then to get undressed and get dressed back up, the Shir Yichud might be 40 minutes. Maybe if it's an eighth date, maybe it'll be a 10-minute seduction and 3 minutes, so it might be 15 minutes for the Shir of Yichud. So that is a very big kula to Reb Moshe. But I have to clarify what I mean when I say Yichud is this amount of time. Let's say Yichud would be 10 minutes. Let's take Reb Moshe, and we're just saying, again, it depends on the situation of how well the boy and the girl know each other, and how comfortable they are with each other, the man and the woman, how comfortable they are with each other, how much clothing they wear. If they're, in the summer, they're just wearing a t-shirt and shorts, or it's the winter, and they're wearing coats and scarves, and that would all play into the specific subjective scenario. So let's say it's going to take 10 minutes. That doesn't mean, Rabbosai, that you're allowed to have yichud for up to 10 minutes. What it means is, listen clearly, it means that if you're in a situation that will be uninterrupted for 10 minutes, then yichud is aser. If you're in a situation that will be uninterrupted for only 8 minutes, then such a yichud would be mutter. Let me clarify what I mean. If you, I lived in Washington Heights. I was learning in yeshiva, like all of you, and I lived in Washington Heights. We have an apartment on 186th Street, and we had a babysitter. A baby. Baby's not going to help me. They're too little. I have a one-year-old and a female babysitter. I want to go home during lunch and get a yogurt for lunch in my house. I don't know if she's home or not. She's often at the park playing with the baby in the park. I go home. I shut the door behind me. I lock the door. How long do I plan to be in the house? How long does it take me to go to the fridge, get a plastic spoon, eat a yogurt, throw it out, and walk back out to the base medrash? Let's say it takes 4 minutes. The yogurt doesn't take long. Is that mutter? So, according to Reb Moshe, that's less than 10 minutes, right? To do the pitui and get undressed and the maisa and get dressed again, 4 minutes should be mutter. That's not correct. Why? Because I'm in a situation that left as is. I locked the door. How long will that door stay locked? It'll stay locked indefinitely. So therefore, the situation, the matzav, is a matzav where there is a shir yichud. And therefore, being in that situation would be aser even for a second. Let me give you the other side of the coin. In other words, let me say that again. If you're in a situation where the situation will be a yichud of 10 minutes, of more than 10 minutes, then it's aser. If you're in a situation that the situation will stay less than the shir of yichud, it's mutter. But if it is a situation that will stay that way, then it's aser even for a second. Let me tell you a story. The very first girl I dated was from Toronto. I was in the mirror. I went to say goodbye to Russ and Svi Finkel at the end of Adar. I said, Rebbe, Rosh Hashiva, I'm going home for Nissan. I assume I'll be back for Kayit Zman HaChasam. That's what I told him. I didn't get married for 5 years. I went out with many young ladies for many years, and that was wishful thinking on my part. But anyway, I had my first date just about Rosh Chodesh Nissan. I came back from the mirror Rosh Chodesh Nissan. I had my first date, a young lady in Toronto. What is there to do in Toronto on a weeknight in the middle of, Rosh Chodesh Nissan is when? Mid-March? Mid-March in Toronto, it's cold on a weekday, Tuesday night. What's there to do? So, no Blue Jays games in the Metrodome. So, there's the CN Tower. CN Tower?
CN Tower.
CN Tower. So the CN Tower is how many floors high?
120.
Great. So you take an elevator. It's not a building like the Empire State Building where there could be floors that you stop at along the way. There's floor 1 and 2, and then there are 120. How long is that elevator ride? Let's say it's 3 minutes. Okay, we want to be machmir, not like Rav Moshe, so we want to be machmir. 3 minutes is ready shir yichud. But wait a second. That means the yichud is for how long? The yichud is by definition for 3 minutes. So if it would be, we went there, and I noticed that I was the only, there's no other couples there, there are no other people touring at 8:30 at night on a Tuesday night in Toronto in March. It's not tourist season. So we looked at each other, and we sort of understood that we're not going to go, we got to see the lobby of the CN Tower, we did not go up. Why? Because that situation where the doors wouldn't open would be for 3 minutes. Let's say we want to be Machmer, that would be a shir of Yichud. And therefore, it would be usher for us to go. However, let's say you want to go in an elevator and there's only another lady going up in the elevator, but it's going to stop at a floor, at any of the floors in 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds. So that is, since it's going to be less than the Zman Shir, you could stay in that elevator for how long? As long as you want. Why?
It could open at any moment,
and therefore it's not Yichud. So that's what it means, that the Shir of Yichud is not how long are you allowed to be Misyachid for. It's, is this a matzav that will be isolated, you'll be secluded for a certain amount of time that could potentially lead to the Bia? That's as far as the Shiurim are concerned. Okay, let's now go to the next part of Shir. The next part of Shir is, with whom are you allowed to be Misyachid? We learned from the Pasuk that you're allowed to be Misyachid with your mother, your sister, and your daughter. Now, when we say that it's mutter for your mother to be Misyachid with your mother, that means it's mutter to be Misyachid with your mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother. And your grandmother is allowed to be Misyachid with you, and or you're allowed to be Misyachid with your daughter, granddaughter, great-granddaughter, great-great-great-great-great-granddaughter. As long as it's one line straight down, it's going to be mutter all the way up and all the way down. And that's both for the man with his daughters or grandmothers. That's true with the woman, with her fathers, grandfathers, and granddaughters, and grandsons. That will be mutter. Sister is a little bit of an exception. Sister, the Torah tells us, is mutter b'yichud midoraisa. However, Chacham said that a sister b'kvius is going to be aser. The problem is we don't know what kvius means. So some like to say that maybe the concept of kavua in halacha and shas might be 30 days. It's not clear. Rabbi Sobolowski has a nice definition where he says, imagine the following. This often happens with people who have parents who have a child who lives in the city. They're out-of-town families who live in the city. Somebody's from Chicago, from LA, from Cincinnati, from St. Louis, from Cleveland, from Montreal, and they have a son living in the city. And their daughter is going to New York City for... She just graduated college, and now she's maybe going to start graduate school, or maybe she'll start a job, or maybe she'll go out with a guy, and if it goes well, she'll stay. If it doesn't go well, she'll go straight back home to Cleveland and to Cincinnati and to Montreal. So when she moves in with her brother, Rostolowski points out that that might be kavua, because she's coming with an open-ended ticket, basically. If she's coming for 3 weeks, okay, that would be fine. But she's coming with an open-ended ticket, that might be kavua, and it would not be permitted for the sister to share an apartment with her brother, even though it's very convenient. Finally, it's important to say that, of course, even when somebody's engaged and even though they're getting married, there's certainly an isur yichud midaraisa, and it's important to realize that Chas and Kal can't say, it's my life, I'll do what I want, we'll do what we want, it's our lives. It's not correct. Gemara Sota says, Kol Kalash et snuba veis chamiya, Zocha v'yotzim imena melachim unavim, and Chas and Kala have the achrayus to their future generations that they will bear to ensure that they will have kedusha, and therefore the tznius is especially necessary. The Ramah says explicitly that a chasan should not sleep in the same house as his kala, even though there's no yichud. That means if there's an engaged couple, the chasan and kala, says the Ramah, should not be sleeping in the same house, even though there are plenty of people around. She's on the third floor, he's on the basement. That should be avoided, even though there's no yichud whatsoever. That's what the Ramah says. in an unusual situation, somebody stuck and went on a date with a kala, and there was a snowstorm, and they couldn't drive back to yeshiva because of the snowstorm, and it's already 12:30 at night. You can't call up any neighbors, and there's no hotel within the proximity. Okay, I can't say it's asur mi'ikra hadin, but the Rama would say that scenario should be avoided. I don't want to say at all costs, but should be avoided. Okay, that's the introduction to Hilchos Yichud. Now we're going to start learning the halachas themselves. How many people is Yichud?
Is there a difference between Chokhmah's age or
No, I think, this Isser of, if you are home for Shabbos and you're hosting some, 27-year-old lady from Israel who's here for, cancer treatment, your sister's friend, that's not a problem. This is a special Chumrah by Mishudeches. Because we're worried there's a closeness that
even today's type of engagement.
Yes, it's not talking about Eris, we're talking about Mishudaches. Yes, that's why I use the word Mishudaches. Okay, so the question is how many people count as Yichud? So you say one and one. Yeah, that's Shumi Daraisa, but it's not just one and one. The Mishnah at the end of Kiddushin, the last Mishnah, or the second last Mishnah, Peyam and Beis, Isha Achas Misyachedes Im Shnei Anashim. Even though one man cannot be with two women. Two women can be with one man. Let me study that again. I take that back. Even though it's explicit in the Mishnah that one man cannot be with two women, two men can be with one woman. I will repeat that. And this is what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the heter of Shnei Anashim. You have a woman, and there are two men, that's mutter. That's what the Mishnah says. So let me give you a very quick example. Your wife works at a law firm. She's a paralegal. The two lawyers in the firm are men. So she's allowed to work there with the door locked. Two men and one woman.
The Jews.
We'll talk about that in a minute. The Mishnah just says two men makes it mutter. Why is it mutter? So the Rashi says that because one man, if he would do something, then he's going to be boshed from the other man. He'll be embarrassed from the other man's presence. So he won't do anything. Now, the Gemara says there are certain two limitations to this heter I'm calling Shnei Anashim. The limitation number one is that they have to be ksherim. So that means if they're prutzim, then we will not give this heter. So again, talk about your situation. Your wife goes to work in an office with two lawyers, two men. Those two men have to be ksherim. Well, that relates to your question. Anybody who is not a Yehudi Shomer Torah Mitzvos, by definition, will be defined as a parutz. We're not saying that they're not good people. We're not saying that they're not honest people, they're not reliable people, they're not conscientious people. But for halachic purposes, if they're not Shomer Torah Mitzvos Yehudim, they're going to have a din of a parutz. And therefore, the limitation would be, as you pointed out, if the two men, two Orthodox lawyers, and she's the paralegal in that Orthodox law firm, that will be mutter l'chadchila, according to the Mishnah. The second limitation, which we'll talk about more, is that this heter of Shnei Anashim only applies ba'ir. But ba'derech, says the Rama, says the Gemara, but ba'derech, says the Gemara, you'll need a third man there. So, if you have a woman driving back from Camp Hask with two male counselors, then even though that's not Yichud because two men is mutter, because one will be boshed from the other, won't do anything wrong, but if it's Baderech, we're worried that one will have to excuse himself, to relieve himself, go to the bathroom, he'll stop the car and walk into the bushes on the side to go to the bathroom. What are you left with in the car? One man, one woman. So says the Gemara, we can't be left in such a situation. So Baderech, where somebody might excuse themselves, you always need a third man to be present. Those are the limitations to the heter of Shnei Anashim.
Wouldn't that situation not be the situation of a mask of 10 minutes or whatever that you'd be part of
that? Good question. Now, the question that might be more common is, what about, first let's figure out who's a paretz. So we said that if he's an Eino Yehudi, that has a din of a paretz. So if she works in a non-Jewish firm, a Jewish girl in a non-Jewish firm with two lawyers, there's nothing to talk about. It's aser, zichah. If the front door is locked. What happens if the two lawyers are from, meaning they are affiliated with Orthodox congregations, but they're liberal in their practices, I'll say like that. They're not the firmest guys in the world. They're not the guys you want in your eight kedushas. They're from, you know, they only buy their stuff in Glatmar and Gourmet Glad and what's the place in Teaneck? Evergreen. No, Evergreen's
Cedar Market. Market.
Cedar Market, right. They buy the stuff in Cedar Market, but you know, they don't, they're not so careful about everything else. So here we have a machlokas. Some say that if he's paritz b'makom acher, he's some other area of halacha that he's not careful in. For example, tolaim, right? He eats, you know, broccoli, fresh broccoli. Okay? So he's a paritz, right? He's paritz b'makom acher. So anybody who eats broccoli from the store, I guess that person wouldn't be able to serve as a shomer in one of the two people who are ksherim to matvichin. Others say no, it means only parrots in arayas. Somebody who's, you know, he's not shomer negia, for example, that's correct. So somebody who's not shomer negia is clearly parrots by arayas, halacha lemaisa, and that person would not be considered a kosher for this heter of shnei anashim. Ramosha had an different parameter of what's the definition of a paritz. He says, somebody's totally from Shomer Mitzvahs, Ben Torah, he's in his third year of Yusmicha, and he feels that he doesn't know what he would do. Would he be able to control himself even if he was in Yichud with a woman? Says Ramosha, that person also doesn't have a din of a kasher. That person also would have a din of a paritz. Finally, and this we have to take understand very carefully, Rabbi Yashiv, as well as the Sheikh Talevi Ravosner, right, that somebody who's not careful with arayas. What's an example of arayas that some people might not be careful in? Well, there's a pasuk in the Torah that says, Lo sasur acharei einechem, you're not allowed to look at certain things. So therefore, somebody who watches television has a din of a paritz, Paskin, Rabbi Yashiv, and Ravosner. So it's arayas, pasuk in the Torah, right, there are things on the screen that can't be seen. So I think we have to keep in mind that maybe what constitutes a paritz in Mei Sha'arim and in Bnei Brak might be a little bit different from somebody who grew up in Teaneck or the Five Towns or the Upper West Side, where, you know, they grew up with it, and that might not be the level of pirtza might be considered. It doesn't make anything mutter just because you grew up with it, but the level of what constitutes a paritz might be different in different communities. I'm not going to, I just want you to be aware of that shita. So in other words, to ksherim, it's mutter for the woman to be misyachid. Now, what happens if the lawyers in that firm are goyim? So he said two goyim are a problem. Okay, but there are 40 partners. Forget 40 partners. There are 150 people in the firm, 150 men in the firm. There are partners, there are associates, there are janitors, there are accounts receivable people, there are marketing graphic designers, 150 men, and she's the one woman in the office, your wife. So is she allowed to be in that office with 150 men? The Yishami says that if the men are prutzim, in other words, they're in a Yehudim, that would be one example of a paritz, then afil mea is aser. So what's your wife going to do if she's in an office and she's the only Jewish woman in this male office? The answer is, there's nothing she could do other than leave the door open. Okay, so she can't leave the door open because security policy needs the door to be locked. So how many women does she have to have in the office to make it that it's not yichud? Well, yichud means seclusion. You're telling me that 150 men, goyim, let's say, and one woman, that's called seclusion. So what's going to be yichud? What's going to be not yichud? What's going to be rabin? You have another woman there? You have to have two women there? So this is a machlokas. What's considered nashim harbe im anashim harbe, which is mutu l'chol hadeis for everybody, nashim harbe and anashim harbe, does that mean three men and three women? Does it mean two men and two women? Or something in between? So Ramosha is machmir l'chatchila and says, Mirkur hadin, says l'chatchila, you should try to have, if they're, again, if they're prutz, they're not Jewish, you should try to have three men and three women. But Mirkur hadin, presumably one could be yichud even if there might be less than that. But you should try to have three men and three women. Now, how many people here are Sephardi? One? Okay. So everything that I said until now was for Ashkenazim. Sephardim have one prat that changes all of Hilchos Yichud. Because until now we've been assuming that if there are two ksherim, two frum yidin in the office, with your wife, that makes a mutl chatchila. Front door is locked, just two men, two from men, one woman. Says the Rambam, do you know what the definition of two ksherim means? Until now I've said from men. Says the Rambam, the only thing that makes a person a kasher is if he's from the Gedolei HaAmoraim, who are moser nefesh, willing to kill themselves to avoid arayas, and nisim happen to them because of their mesiras nefesh for arayas. That's the kind of person who's a kasher. In other words, there's no such thing as a kasher bizman hazeh. So according to the Rambam and to Sfaradim, there's no heter bizman hazeh of two ksherim with one woman. You'll always have to have multiple men and multiple women. You can never have a situation, according to the Rambam, for Sfaradim, you can never have a situation of one woman with numerous men, even if they're all from. So if you have a shayla from a Sfaradi woman, and she says, I'm a Sfaradi woman, I'm in an office with, once she says the word men and there are no women there, she can't be there. There's always going to have to be anashim harbe im nashim harbe, which would be either, as we mentioned before, either 2 and 2 or 3 and 3. That is a very big chumra for Sfaradim. Okay. Now, we have, as we take forward this kula of shnei anashim, yeah?
Within the 150 men, there are also sheirim.
Okay, if you have one kasha and one parutz, that's the machlokas achronim. Let's talk about that. That will make it easier. You have one Ashkenazi girl with two men is mutter if they're both ksherim. What if it's one from lawyer and one guy, or one not from Jew? So that's a machlokas achronim. Rabosai, what am I going to do if it's a machlokas achronim? It's a suffik in halacha. What am I going to do? Why? Why is it Rabbanan?
Because she's
an Eishes Ish. She's your wife with a man. What do we say before? We said Tosa says that the only time that there's ever yichud d'orais is if it's one man and one woman. Once there are multiple people involved, more than one and one, it's only going to be the Rabbanan. And therefore the Achronim say if you have one kasher and one parutz, machlokes Achronim, whether that's permitted for the woman to be there. Since it's a machlokes Achronim, and it's by definition yichud mide Rabbanan, because it's more than one and one, you could be mekel. And therefore halach l'mayis Rabbosai, if you have a woman with one parutz and one kasher, she can be misyachid in that situation. Because of the suffik d'rabbanan, l'hakel. Now, another limitation that we said a few minutes ago is that when we have this heter shnei anashim is not called yichud, but by derech, we're worried that one of them is going to have to go to the bathroom. That's what the Gemara says in Kiddushin Pei Aleph. Based on that limitation, that by derech also needs another man to be present. We're worried one will go to the bathroom, you'll be left with one and one. So therefore have a third man present, so that even if one goes to the bathroom, you'll still have two men there. That's what the Gemara says. Based on that, the Ravid adds, we're also concerned, not just Baderach, we're also concerned Balayla. So Balayla, what are we concerned? We have two men and a woman. Motel Chatchila. What are we worried about? Balayla, one of the men will fall asleep. What are you going to be left with? One awake man and one awake woman. That's going to be Yichud. So therefore, the Ravid says, building on the Gemara that says, Baderach, you need a third man. The Ravid adds, you also need Balayla, a third man. But when is Laila? Is Laila Shkia? Or is it Seis? Or is it Chatzos? What do you say?
People are tired.
Great. So Rabbi Yashiv says like you. Rabbi Yashiv says that Laila is defined not by any of those, but rather by when you're going to be going to sleep. We're only worried that somebody is going to fall asleep. When? It's bedtime. So if you live in a smicha apartment, and one of you is going out with a girl, so you bring the girl into the apartment, two kosher guys, two, right? You haven't watched TV in a long time, right? So two ksherim, and one girl, a nice stern girl, in the apartment, lock the front door, mutal chatchila, according to the Rama. Not for Sfaradim, but for the Ashkenazim here. Okay? What time do you go to sleep in your dira, in your apartment?
11.
Halavai, 11, right? Okay, let's say 1. Okay, 1 o'clock in the morning. That means at 12:37 a.m., you don't go to sleep yet till 1. 12:37 a.m., it's not night yet. What do you mean? It's 37 minutes after midnight. It's not night, says Rabbi Yashiv. It's until it's bedtime. After 1 o'clock, that's when you go to bed, then it's Laila, you need a third roommate. Okay, so your third roommate comes out from the base manager at 1 a.m., now you're good. You could again, three men with one woman locked in the room is mutar lechatchila if they're all ksherim. That should be the halacha lamaisa, except for the fact that for sleeping over, the Bach says if they're just men and a woman, even though multiple men is mutar, it's not. It shouldn't happen, even if there are many.
And she's saying three and three.
Then there's no yichud. That's just not called yichud. No, that's anoshim harbeim, nashim harbei. That's muti even balayla. That's even lechatchila balayla. Some say it's two and three. Some say it's two and two, but there have to be other women present in order for her to be with any men.
How many other women?
It's machlokas if she needs one or two other women to be present.
In addition to the two men, or three, or maybe even three men,
yeah, for Sardim. Okay, we finished the discussion of Shnei Anashim with one woman. Now we're going to talk about the flip side of that. Let's talk now about the chumrah of Lo Yisyached, the Mishnah and Kedushin Payment Beis, Lo Yisyached Adam Im Shtei Nashim. One man, you. You are in an office, you are the lawyer, and you have two female paralegals. You're from, they're from, it's usher for you to be there. If you had one paralegal, it would be usher midaraisa, if she was Jewish. If you have two paralegals, it's usher midarabanan. You could be a doctor. You could be a rabbi meeting with two congregants. You could be a teacher meeting with two students. Usher for you to be misyachid. That's what the Mishnah says. And here, the Gemara says, "My taima tanis beilyo hol v'noshim daitin kalos." What does daitin kalos mean? It doesn't mean anything about intelligence. It doesn't mean anything about capabilities. It doesn't mean you can't be the governor of New York. I mean, that might be a srara issue, but that's not our sugya today. That Rabbi Reis will, we'll speak about next semester probably. Noshim daitin kalos means one thing: nochos lehispatos. They are easily seduced. So if you're stuck in a situation with one woman, oh, definitely yichud. If you're in a situation with two women, we are worried that you will seduce one. Women are more easily seduced than men. And therefore, we are worried you seduce A and B, Miss A and Miss B. And therefore, both of them will... You'll be both of them. And that's why... that's all that Noshim Daitin Kalos means. It just means they're more easily seduced. They're more easily... They become emotional more quickly than a man. That's all it means. Rashi says he'll be both of them. Now, the Rashi seems to say, or the way the Achronim understand the Rashi, that we're worried we'll be both of them. Now, it happens to be, that it could be, that physically, a man might be able to have Bia, and might be able to have Bia again a short while later, but to have Bia a third time, having Bia once, then in the same setting another time and another time, is just about impossible. A man doesn't have that kind of strength in normal situations. What? David, it was right, that's the Kasha. David HaMach, that's correct. Besides the Kasha of David HaMach. If that's the case, if the whole concern that we have when one man is with two women, why that's also is because he might be both of them, say the Achronim, but if there are three women there, it's physically impossible for him to be all three women, one after the other after the other, and therefore, there won't be an Isser Bia with, there won't be an Isser Yichud with any of them, any of the three. Why? Because the whole concern that we have is that one man with a woman, okay, that's yichud. One man with two women, each woman might participate because she thinks her friend will also participate. If one woman would think that her friend's definitely not going to participate, she wouldn't want to participate either. So if there's three women, where each one knows that one of them will definitely not participate because he doesn't have the strength to be both all three, then each one... Each individual of the first two women will be concerned that I don't want to be the odd girl out. I don't want to be, the one that he's going to take advantage of and my friend not. So therefore, all of them will be scared to get involved with him. And therefore, there should be a heter, according to Rashi, of what we call Nashim Harbei, three women or more. This is a very important kula, because we just said that one man can't be with two women. But once there's a third woman there, Rashi's telling us that since he can't be both all three, Yichud will all of a sudden become mutter. Now that is a very common shaila. Let's say you have a niece, and your sister, your brother is going to Florida for 2 days. Could you please babysit your niece? What's the answer? When she's 3 years old? Sorry, no. Okay, your sister or brother have two girls. Could you babysit? They're going to Florida. This sister does everything for you. She took care of you. She drove you everything, everywhere you had to do. She took you to. She's the best sister in the world. She got married a few years before that. Baruch Hashem, a baby, two babies. She said, "I want to go to Florida with my husband for a day and a half. We haven't gone away in years. Can you watch my two kids?" The answer is no. One man, two women. They're both 3 years old. Once she has three kids, then all of a sudden you could watch your nieces. Okay? I'll give you another Shiloh. It's always a funny case, right? You have a bunch of seminary girls. Seminary is going on a teal. So let's protect them. What are we going to get? Let's get some tall, dark, handsome 23-year-old man with an M16. Oh, now the girls are really going to be safe, right? Okay. So is that mutter? They're hiking on some Har Nidach in the middle of Midbar Yehuda. Is that mutter or aser? One man with a whole bunch of girls. Once there's more than three, it should be mutter. Once there's more than three girls, even though one man with two women would be aser. Once it's three and more, it'll be mutter. What about teacher? Let's say we didn't have a window there. And let's say you were all women. Well, first of all, I don't know if I want to teach you. But I have to want to be careful. Of course. But that's why we always have the windows. Okay, there are windows, so I'm going to teach women. I'm going to teach a women's class. So can I lock the front door, shut the shade, and teach a women's class? The answer is, if there are more than three women or more, it's mutter, right? Okay, according to this, Ramah. The Ramah passings like this, halacha called the heter of Nashim Harbeh. Comes with Moshe Feinstein and says, I don't think we should passkin like this. I don't like this Ramah. Ramosha says, this kula of Nashim Harbeh, it's the Ramah, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't go like this, doesn't allow it, the Ramah doesn't allow it, I don't think you should have this leniency of Nashim Harbeh. So L'maisa L'chatchili, you should avoid Nashim Harbeh. V'sha'as Hatzchak, then there is the Ramah to be lenient on. Yes, question.
Regarding this case of Midbar Yehuda, or in the beginning of being in the forest, is there any connection with the case of Onus Umefetev for the Chazakah?
Yeah, so the poskim talk about if the concern for Yichud is that he will rape her, or that they will agree to be together. I don't want to get into that because that's a very big sugya. But pashtus, if you're talking about a kosher, a frum guy, we're not worried that he's going to be ma'anes her, that he'll rape her. If you're talking about Yichud with a nandra, are we worried that he's going to rape her, or just worried that they're going to be together with agreement? That's a question in the Achronim. Okay.
In case of the babysitting with the sisters, would sisters be any different?
We'll talk about sisters later. Yeah, that's a good question. Okay, the next kula that we have to talk about, first we talked about what is Yichud, we talked about how many is Yichud, now we're going to talk about, there are four kulas. The way the sugya of Yichud, the way the sugya and halacha of Yichud works is there's an Isser of Yichud. Once there's Yichud, you could avail yourself to one of numerous heterim. The heter of Pesach Pasuach, Lushas Harabim, the heter of Baila Be'ir, the heter of Shomrim, which is somebody there who alleviates the issue of Yichud, and I forgot what the fourth one is. But let's now talk about, okay, there is Yichud. It's you're going to work, and you work in the office, and there's a Gentile man in the office, or two Gentile men in the office. It's Yichud. What do? You're at a therapy session with your psychologist, and she's a female and you're a male. Or you're the psychologist or the therapist, and your client is a female. Or you're a doctor, she's a doctor, and there's one person. Okay, so the heter that we're going to have to rely on in many situations is Pesach, Pasuach, L'Rishus HaRabim. That's what the Gemara Pe'alef, Amar Aleph, and Kedushin tells us. Pesach, Pasuach, L'Rishus HaRabim, Ein Choshesh HaMishim Yichud. We have to define what a Pesach is, what Pasuach is, and what L'Rishus HaRabim is. So, let me present to you a chakira. Why is this heter a pesach pasuach l'rishus harabim mutter? Is it because if it's pasuach l'rishus harabim, it has a din of l'rishus harabim? In other words, it's not yichud. There's one man, one woman in this door, in this room. But since the room is open to l'rishus harabim, it's like the l'rishus harabim is in here with us. It's not yichud at all. It's l'rishus harabim. Or do we say, no, it's yichud. It's yichud, but we're scared to do anything. Why are we scared to do anything? Because the door, somebody could walk in at any minute. And therefore, it is yichud, but it's yichud with a heter of mirsis. Just like when you have a kashrus in an establishment, you don't have to have a mashgiach tamidi. They're scared at any given moment. The mashgiach could walk in. So that's a heter of mirsis, of fright, scaredness. There's no such word as scaredness, by the way. Okay, so we have to question ourselves, and this might be the most important point that we're going to make today, is that the heter of Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus HaRabim, does that mean that the door is merely unlocked, or does the door actually have to be ajar? And this is a shaya that I have in my life every other day. Why do I say every other day? Because we have a cleaning lady who comes every other day. And I come home, and my wife's, let's say, not home from work yet, and my kids are, let's say, not home from work yet, from school yet. I walk in, and the cleaning lady's there. So do I have to leave the door ajar, that it's there are a few inches of opening between the door jamb and my delos? Or is it enough that I leave the door unlocked? Because after all, it's going to be asur midrabbanan for me to be home. If I have a Jewish cleaning lady or a Jewish babysitter, that would be asur midoraisa for me to be home. So that's what we have to figure out. So here we have Rebbe Kveger and his bar plugs to the base mayor. They communicate with each other. They are not plugsters in this case, although they started out arguing. They both agree that the door has to be physically ajar. It's not sufficient if it's unlocked. It has to be absolutely ajar. Now, that's a big chumrah, that you have to have the door absolutely ajar, physically ajar, to permit yichud inside. That means, if you're a therapist and you're seeing your client, you have to leave the door physically ajar while you're talking to your client. That means if you're a doctor and you're seeing a patient in the room, in the examination room, you're going to have to leave the door open. That sounds weird, doesn't it? Okay, so let's see if there's anybody else. So it seems that the Rashba, as well as Rabbeinu Yonah, Rishonim, and if I have to choose between the Rashba and the Rabbeinu Yonah, as opposed to Rebbe Kveger and the Beis Meir, I probably would be side with the Rashba and Rabbeinu Yonah. It's more complicated than the way I'm presenting it. Say no. Say that as long as the door is unlocked, we're concerned Shem Yikanes, even the door is unlocked, the door is closed, but we're concerned Shem Yikanes, and therefore there's no Isra of Yichud. That's a big kula. You could have the door closed as long as it's unlocked. But it also is a big chumrah. Because how late at night will we have this chshash Shem Yikanes? Say all the achronim. If you're going to leave the door closed, then the leniency of the door closed is only as long, the heter pesach pesach l'shazar is only as long as people are walking through the Rishus HaRabim and might try the door and see if they can come inside. But after 11 o'clock at night, no one is walking down the street would try a door after 11 o'clock at night. When there are people around, the Chazanish said that in the 1950s in Bnei Brak, the cutoff time of when there's a heter pesach pesach l'shazar, when are people out on the street, 10 p.m. Maybe in the apartments here, if you're on a smicha floor, maybe it'll be 11:30. But at 2 in the morning, no one's going to be walking. There aren't people walking around the halls that might, you know, might try your door. If they are, then call the police. Masha Enkin, if you hold that opinion of Rebbe Kveger and the base mayor, that the door is ajar. Well, if there's a door ajar and it's 3 in the morning, if you're walking by a door that's, for some reason you had a flight, you come back to your apartment, that's 3:30 in the morning. You walk down the hall and there's a door that's ajar. What are you going to do when you walk by? You'll stick your head in and look. Why? Because it's open. That, if you hold like Rebbe Kveger, that the door has to be ajar, then the heter would be, of Pesach Pesach Rabim, would be 24 hours a day, even in the middle of the night. However, if you hold that the Pesach Pesach Rabim is enough that it's merely unlocked, but it could be closed, then you'll only have the Pesach, the Heter, while it's time that people are still around. So for example, when I was going out with my wife, she had an apartment in a three-story, three-family house on Main Street, right next to Amazing Savings. There's the family that owned the house in the basement, in the first floor. My wife and her roommates lived on the second floor, and her family lived on the third floor. And I was in Lakewood, and for me to drive from Queens back to Lakewood was a two-hour drive. So before I go for my two-hour drive, I need a coffee, I need a cup of Coke, I need to use the restroom. So I dropped her off after the date. I wanted to know, could I go inside and take a drink? Okay, so if we leave the door open, it's definitely going to be mutter. But do you want to leave the door open? You know, let's say there's another roommate there, but it doesn't help. Still two women. Still would be usher. So I asked Rabbi Forrest Scheibe of Posick and Lake with this Shaila, and I told him the situation, family one, the girl I'm going out with, she's now Mrs. Orlean, and family, you know, the second floor is upstairs. So Rabbi Forrest Scheibe says, if it's early enough that the third floor family, the upstairs family, yeah, the third floor family, might still be going up and down the steps passing this girl's apartment, then there's a heter that you should be able to, then you'd be able to close the door. But once those people are no longer, how late at night, what's the latest Marav in Cookie Garden Hills? Let's say 10:30. Let's say it's after 10:45, 10:50, Once that 10:50 mark comes, so they're not going upstairs to the third floor, they're not going to be passing by, then there won't be a heter, a pesach pasuch, rishus harabim. So, what should we do? Do we go like Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rashba, who say that the door could be closed? Or do we go like Rabbi Kveger, who also knew how to learn and was aware of this Rashba, and says that the door has to be ajar? What do we do? What would you say?
It's a question.
I'm asking you. What would you do? You're going to be Machmir, be Mekel.
It's totally
wrong. You missed one step. If it's Darabanan, you'll say Sawi Darabanan Lekul. When will it be Darabanan?
When it's not one man.
When there are two women there, or if the lady is a Eina Yehudis. That's right. So when I come home and I have a non-Jewish cleaning lady, what can I do with my front door? I can close it and not leave it ajar. What happens if I come home and the cleaning and we have a babysitter home with a baby? I have to leave the door ajar because I'm Savik D'Oraisa. I'm going to be Machmir. Hold on. What happens if you have two women and one man? That's also going to be Darabanan. One can be Mekel, and this is something that the Tzitzeliezer points out, that if there's a Tzir Flahakel of the fact that you have two women there, which makes it only Yichud Darabanan because it's one and two, so it's not just one and one. So it's only Darabanan. Since it's only Darabanan, you can be Mekel like the Rashba who allows the door to be fully closed. Yes.
Isn't that being the Zaki Sharl betray that you're being Mekel both based on the two Shidas that are close to one another?
You'll ask me later, I don't chop that. No, I'm not aware. Yeah.
No. That includes take a Heights apartment where there's a double door to get in.
Oh, let's say you go to the Heights apartment and there's two doors to get in. So let's say you're going to an apartment. So if you live, let's say, on the third floor, let's say the sixth floor, so you want to leave the door unlocked, but it has to be pasuch l'rishus harabim. The other people on your floor are considered rishus harabim. So that's going to be mutter. Yeah. What's your question?
The lundis is what they actually say, or we're working on it? Meaning, the Rashba says the door can be...
Ayin sham. We're doing something very bekitzer. There's a lot more lundis here. I'm not able to...
When we say that if the door has to be, if the door is going to be closed, that's because it brings us, and the door is going to be open, because it actually opens the...
That's the longest that we're saying in the Machlokas with Kvegra and Rashba.
Okay.
Yeah, let's leave it for now. There's a lot more alumnus. I could say sheer for an hour on this Nakuda, but I'm not. Yeah.
Door jar to then be able to see inside that.
Yeah, door jar means the way the Achronim understand that you could stick your head inside and look. So let's just bring this halacha l'maisa.
Is it context dependent? Like if you're in a place where nobody opens doors, so then...
We'll talk about your question, very important question. Does it apply where no one opens the doors? Meaning, everyone knows, let's say there's a therapy office, there's an office of a social worker office, a psychologist office, there are three rooms that each therapist is in their own room, there's a waiting room, and they don't lock the doors because of liability. But the unwritten rule in any therapist's office is that you don't open a door when the door is closed, right? That's the unwritten, inviolable, asur d'orais. You're never going to open a door while therapy might be in session, but the door is going to not be locked. But you know no one's going to walk in. So that's a fabulous question. And this is the same question both in a case of the psychologist situation, this is going to be a shaila, in a doctor's office, in an examination room. You don't walk into an examination room door unless you knock first. But is the doctor ever going to lock the door? Definitely not, because he's scared he's going to be sued if he's with a woman and the door is locked. That's definitely not going to happen either. So here, one second please. So here, if we know that the door is open, so their advice is machmir like you, but we don't postulate that. We postulate the Rashba. The Rashba is talking about a case where we knew the doors weren't open. When the Rashba is talking about a case of yichud, not with a woman, but yichud with yayin. What does that mean? There's an issue of yayin esach or stam yenim, a wine that a guy was nisyached with wine. Okay, I don't think there's a shir bia there, but maybe shir litzlos gom, shir shtias revias. But we're worried that the guy who's alone in the context of wine might be menasich the wine. And there, the Rashba says that a Jew could come in. The situation that the Rashba happens to be speaking about is a case where no one else was going to come in, but the door is unlocked. And the Rashba still says that there's a heter heter pesel pesuch l'shesarabim that somebody might come in, even though the door, no one's supposed to come in, it's still mutter. So therefore we see from this Rashba that pesel pesuch l'shesarabim is mutter by a closed door, even if we don't expect anyone to open the door. And therefore, in the case that we just described, in both the doctor's office and the therapist's office, there will be a heter if the door is unlocked, according to the Rashba, that it's enough just to leave it unlocked. If as long as the door is unlocked, even though you don't expect anyone to enter, it will still be mutter. Now, what about the following situation? Let's say you have a house, and you're in the basement, you have your office, you're sitting and learning in your office, in your house, or your den, all the way in the basement. That's where you have your svarim, in the basement. And there's a front door, and there's a door to the basement, and there's a door to your office, and you're three doors in. And your cleaning lady comes to vacuum your office while you're in the office. Who else is in the house? Absolutely nobody. All the three doors are unlocked. Are you allowed to be in that situation where there's one unlocked door and another unlocked door and yet a third unlocked door? Says Radvaz that it's all mutter. Even though there are numerous closed doors, one after the other, it's going to be mutter because at each door we'll say, Pesuch Pesuch Rishus HaRabim, and it's going to be mutter. That would be how we would pass, and that's a big call. Yeah. Now, let us add one point, that how many people constitute the Rishus HaRabim, right? We said if you're open to the whole street, that's mutter. If you live on the sixth floor of an apartment building, there are eight families on the apartment building, okay, eight families will be also a Rishus HaRabim. What happens if you have one door, let's say you live in a two-family house, there's a locked front door to the house, to the building. You walk in, you go to the right, it's your apartment, to the left, it's another family. It's a couple, a man and a woman. And you're the other apartment. So could you leave the front door open to your apartment when the house, when the building's door and front door is locked? There's only one, you're only open to one other, is that a Rishus HaRabim? There's just one other family. So the Dvar Halacha says, if there's either three people in the chatzer, or an ish v'ishto in the chatzer, that is sufficient to constitute a Rishus HaRabim, and thereby be matir, pes pasuach, to that group of people, either three people or an ish v'ishto. So basically, if the front door of a building, an apartment building, is locked, that's not going to be problematic, as long as there are other apartments in the building that are available. This concept of Pes Patsuch L'Rishus HaRabim is extended by the Node of Yehuda to apply to windows as well. Let me explain. Let's say we're right over here. Let's say the front door is locked, this door is locked, that's plugged up. But if I would be with a woman in this room, right here, just me and she and I, her and me, I, me, her, she, not sure. Says the Node of Yehuda, since people could see from outside, so I'm going to be, that's not going to be Yichud. Because it's also the dinner, Pesach Pesuch L'Rishus HaRabim. Now the Chiddush is, even if they're going to look out of a window, so if I'm on, let's say, the equivalent of the fifth floor, and there's an apartment over there on the fifth floor, and they could see into my apartment, so that's going to be a heter of Pesach Pesuch L'Rishus HaRabim. But let me ask you a question. If you're going to have this situation, again, front door is locked, no one can see in there, you're relying on the line of vision from that apartment. You see that pillar over there? Could you stand right behind that pillar? The boy and the girl stand behind that pillar? Well, if the whole heter is that they're seeing you from outside, obviously they have to be able to see you in the line of vision. If you're going to be not in the line of vision, it's going to be usher. What about the fact that the boy and the girl, the man and the woman will be over here? We could easily go outside of the line of vision, right? We could step over there and do an avera. So that we're not worried about that. In Hilchas Yichud, we only evaluate Hilchas Yichud as things are now, not where we could go after this. And the biggest proof is the door unlocked is mutter. We don't say that maybe you will lock the door. If the door's unlocked, it's mutter. We don't say maybe you lock the door. So too, if it's mutter here, we're not going to say maybe you'll walk out of the line of vision and it would be us, sir.
But somebody has to be seeing you, or you can
assume. You could assume. I had a very difficult shaila. I had a student who lives in Fort Lee, and you know the Fort Lee buildings, those big buildings on the other side of the bridge, those tall buildings. He lived in one of those buildings, and he lived on the 23rd floor, and his parents were away, on vacation in another continent, and he had a baby, he had a cleaning lady, a live-in cleaning lady, and he was in the dorm, and his brother, who's in high school, was home. What's that called? That's called Yichud, right? High school boy, cleaning lady, is called Yichud. So he's trying to figure out, what should he do? Does he have to go home every night to make it two people? That's not going to help at night anyway. Because Dalila, he's not going to be able to sleep there either. So I said, Yankee, that's not his name. I said, Yankee, what's opposite your 23rd window? He said, well, the twin building right opposite us. So I said, okay, keep at night, you'll be there during the day, whatever, we'll have to figure out how to be in the other rooms, but keep the shades all the way up, keep a light on in that room so people can always be looking in, and stay in that room and you won't have yichud, at least in that room. That was a situation that sort of applied some of these halachas. Okay, let us finish up with another important kula that's harder to apply, and I try not to use it. But sometimes you have no choice. Let's say you have a situation where you have a 15-year-old girl babysitting a 6-year-old boy. She's a babysitter. Family has one kid, a little boy, a four-year-old boy. No, he's not ready to be, I'm sorry. A 9-year-old boy. So he needs a babysitter. She's 15, she's 16, so she'll babysit. It's yichud. It's yichud. It's going to be an isur daraisa for her. So, I don't know if I'd be making in that case to the following, but theoretically, one could argue that, hey, if people could come home at any minute, let's say the door's locked. It's not safe to leave the door unlocked. If people could come home at any minute, maybe that's like the door is open. What does it mean if people could come home at any minute? Other people have the key. So could you engineer the case l'chatchila, give somebody the key and say, come and visit us? I try to avoid ever giving a heter like that because people don't take it seriously. Because, you know, he'll do his one check and then you know he's not coming back. If you know that somebody has a key, but let's say I would go home and I don't know when my wife's coming back. So in that case, my cleaning lady's there, it's usher. So it's only us at the Rabbanon. And if I lock the front door, I know my wife's coming home at some point, at any point. I don't know exactly when. She might come home right when I walked in, she might be a half hour later. I don't know at any point. There, I would probably be lenient to even lock the door. I usually don't, but theoretically, I could lock the door because the fact that it's locked or unlocked is meaningless because Kloppy, the person outside who knows the combination or who has the key, it's unlocked. So that might also be something to consider, but it's not a good kula to rely on. As far as going to the doctor, Ramosha has a heter. He says, well, the doctor's not going to do anything because he's tar b'malachto. Tar b'malachto always takes away the chshash of hirur aveira. He says, but still, if the woman is in the doctor's office, the examination room for too long, the nurses are going to wonder, the patients are going to wonder what's taking so long. So Ramosha says, as long as there are two other women in the, one or two other women in the office, a woman could go into an unlocked examination room, maybe even a locked examination room. But if there's no one else in the office, if you have the last appointment, Ramosha says a woman should never have the last appointment in the day with a male doctor. Because if the nurses at the front desk leave and she'll be there just with the doctor, that's going to be, that's not going to have any heter as far as you know. Let's finish off our conversation with maybe two halachas. Number one, there's a heter of Baila Be'ir. The Gemara tells us that even when there's an Isra Yichud, let's assume one man, one woman, front door locked, Baila Be'ir, Lesa Mishum, Eid Choshishum Mishum Yichud. Now, what's the Svara for Baila Be'ir? Here there's a Chakira among the Achron. Is the Heter Baila Be'ir that my husband's in town, he could walk in any minute? Right? She's not going to do anything stupid if her husband's going to walk in any minute. So yes, the door is locked. But she's still not going to do anything stupid because, as Rashi says, Lashon Rashi is mistafei mi baal hashta asi. She's scared that her husband might come any minute. That's one explanation. Now, if we stop there, that means if you know your husband's not going to walk in any minute, for example, he just called you from, you're in Washington Heights. You're with a cleaning lady. No, let me work the opposite. The wife is home. The plumber knocks on the door. The electrician knocks on the door. As the electrician is knocking on the door, she gets a phone call with caller ID from Deloitte & Touche, where her husband works in the accounting firm on, 37th Street. So he says, honey, I'm getting on the train. I'll be home in 45 minutes. The plumber knocks on the door and says, hi, can I come to fix the issue, the stuffed toilet or the electrical, the lights are going on and off. So the husband's in the same city, right? Baila Be'ir. But wait a second. Is she Mistafi Hashta Asi? He's going to come right now? She knows he's not going to be here for 40 minutes. He's on 37th Street. She just saw on the caller ID the call is from Deloitte & Touche. So she knows that he's not coming home now. So it would be Aser. However, the Chazunit, the Rambam has a Lashon, and the Shulchan Aruch don't say Rashi's Svara of that she's scared her husband might walk in. Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch write, Emas Baila Aleha. She knows that her husband is in the same city. Emas Baila Aleha. The Chazanish explains, what's the Svara of Emas Baila Aleha? It means that a woman has a mental block. She has an innate anxiety to do anything wrong if she knows that her husband is around. If her husband's around, she just has a mental block. Whether he'll come right now or not, that's not the point. That if he's in the same city, she has a mental block and an anxiety that she would not do anything wrong. Oh, once he's in a different city. Oh, when the cat's away, the mice shall play. So if he's in a different city, freedom. If he's in the same city, Amos, Baila, Aleha, Beteva, there's some kind of mental block. She would never cheat if he's in the city. And believe it or not, there's a tremendous kula there. What's the kula? The case I just said. He's 37 minutes away. I'm sorry, he's 45 minutes away on 37th Street. She is with the plumber or the electrician up here in Washington Heights. Plumber is coming in. She has a mental block. She wouldn't do anything with the plumber. It would be mutter, according to this Chazanish's understanding of the Rambam. But according to the Rashi, who says we're worried that maybe the husband will come home, she's not worried. Nafkamina. Believe it or not, the Chazanish is Mekel in this case. Right? Rabbi Will once told us, when you have a kula from the Chazanish, you could take it and run, because the Chazanish is not a Mekel. So if he is Mekel, you could rely on it. So the Chazanish here is Mekel, and Taka says that even if the husband won't come, you know that he won't come, but it will be mutter because Emas Baila Aleha, Beteva. Let's talk about what happens if her husband's in Fort Lee. How long does it take to get from Fort Lee to Mount Sinai?
To walk.
To bike.
To bike.
It's a 6-minute bike ride.
Yeah.
8-minute bike ride. But it's two different cities. It's two different states, right? Fort Lee, New Jersey, and Manhattan, New York. So are we going to have a heter baila be'ir? So it depends on how you'll evaluate baila. What about, do you have a heter baila be'ir if the husband works in Teaneck and she lives in Bergenfield? Is Teaneck and Bergenfield the same year? Okay, those of you from where I come from, he works on Cedarhurst and Central Avenue, and she lives in Lawrence. Cedarhurst and Lawrence are two cities, but it's one big mush. Do you look at the tax identification? They say taxes all Nassau County. Well, here in New York and New Jersey, two different tax jurisdictions. Okay, so we're not going to get into that, but the postcom will deal with that, Shaila. What happens if she knows? Let's say there's a man who's in the hospital at Columbia Presbyterian. His wife is at home on 186th Street, 185th Street, just a few minutes away. But he's in the hospital in bed, hooked up to an IV. Or he's on Rikers Island. You know, he's at the police. He's locked up in a cell in the police station on Broadway and 182nd Street. He's in a cell. He's locked up in the police station there, and she has the plumber coming in, the electrician coming in. So she knows he's definitely not coming. So Rav Moshe says, L'chol hadeis, if he's in the hospital, he's in jail. Then there's no heter baila be'ir. Oh, but the Chazanir said you're so. There's a mental block, yeah, but if you know he's locked up in jail, then things could happen. We're not going to be assuming there's any mental block. Let's finish off with one last point, and that is the sugya of shomrim. Shomrim means that there is, in this equation of man and woman, there's also present a person who you wouldn't have beer with. Like, for example, your mother is home, and a lady comes over. Normally, one man with two women is usher. But one of them is your mother. So could your mother Again, father is on business, father died, parents are divorced. So you're home with your mother, and she has a friend come over. Could she lock the front door? It's you and your mom with another woman. Hey, ish with shnei nashim is aser. Durabana, but still aser. So will that be a heter? So this is a big machlokas in the Achronim. It happens to be Reb Moshe is matir, that if there's a woman with whom you would never have bia, meaning mother, sister, daughter, then you will be able to have yichud even with the other woman who is present. Not only because you would be embarrassed from your mother, but also because the woman would be embarrassed to do something to the son of the woman who's there who isn't going to get involved, meaning the mother. The woman who's visiting would never do something with in the presence of the mother of the man, because she knows the mother's not going to get involved. This works also in the opposite way. Let's say there is a girl with her mother. Could she be misyached? Meaning, could an electrician come in, Jewish electrician wants to know, there's a mother who lives, there are two sisters living in an apartment. There's a mother and daughter who live in an apartment. Could the electrician walk in and lock the door behind him? Here, it's not the man and the woman would never have bia. Here, the man might have bia with her, the man might have bia with her, but they would feel very awkward. The sister would be very awkward to do something inappropriate with her sister there. The mother or the daughter would feel very awkward if the mother or the sister were there. So in such a case, there is the Dvar Halacha indeed is Mekel in such a case. So the Maisa, when you have these situations of Shomrim, we do have some Kulot to rely on. These points all have Machlok Sachronims on it, but there is room to make in both of these situations.